I'm really excited this morning. I think it's going to be a great opportunity this week for us to go before the Lord and head on out to Mexico. We mentioned that prayer and fasting is going to be on Tuesday all day. I really want to encourage you more than I normally do, as our team is heading out for Mexico on Tuesday morning. I think it'd be really a wonderful thing if the congregation would come and gather and be in a time of prayer and fasting on behalf of the team as we go out. And so, again, that's this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And so we really would encourage you to come on out for that. You're in for a treat this morning. In a little while, we're going to be calling the team forward, and Dave's going to be praying us off. But I'm real excited to introduce to you, maybe for some of you the first time. Others maybe have seen Dave Greco here before. Dave's a native of Long Island, and then he fell in love with Kenny Riker's sister and married her, and then they moved off to Mexico. And they've been ministering there for a number of years. I know a lot of things happened between those two gaps that I gave, but God has used him to reach the rapidly growing Hispanic community. And it is a real honor and a privilege to be under his teaching today, under his influence. And I just want to extend a warm welcome to Dave Greco this morning.
I told Pastor Tony he needs to stay up here, stand behind me like this. It's great that you're sending a team out. I am so excited about that. Let me just a little addendum as you pray for them. Let me give you a real quick sketch. I didn't say this in the morning, so pass it on to the other service as well. But when you pray for missions teams and when you pray for missionaries, real easy guide for how to pray from the three P's. Pray for protection, okay? Pray for provision, God's protection over them, God's provision for them, and God's presence around them. Protection, provision, presence. For your missionaries, for your missionary team, those three things are incredibly important, and God answers those prayers. Thank you for the chance to come. I am honored to be here. My wife is with your women's group, and Charlene got back this morning. She left last night and got back this morning, and she's here today, but I appreciate the chance. I think my daughters were there as well, so while they're out there, I'm here, and all that kind of good stuff, and it's been a very interesting little deal. Thank you, Pastor Tony, for the opportunity to be here, but women's retreats, men's retreats, a little different between men and women, you know? You may not know, but if you don't, let me alert you to that fact. My wife and I recently were watching TV and probably watching NCIS. It's about the only show that we both watch that we both like. She has all these others and I have all these others, but we're watching it and a commercial came on. The most memorable thing about the commercial was that there was nothing memorable about it. If you understand what I'm saying, it's one of those commercials that insult your intelligence, and you know. So I kind of like shut it off and goes on. And when it was over, my wife said to me, "Can you believe what that guy just said?" And I said, "What guy?" "He's the guy in the commercial." And I said, "What commercial?" "He's you're sitting 10 feet in front of the TV. Your eyes are open. You're looking at the TV. The commercial that was just on. Can you believe what he just said?" I said, "I'll be honest, I didn't hear him." "How could you not hear him?" I said, "I shut it off." "What do you mean you shut it off?" I said, "Well, if I'm in a conversation and somebody begins to talk about something that's totally irrelevant, means nothing to me, I had this, and right about at that point, little lights started going off, and be careful here, don't sell the farm, you know, just, I shut it off. I just don't hear it." She says, "How can you do that?" I said, "It's a gift. What can I say? It's a gift." And very often we think it's a men's gift. You know, it's the man's gift to shut things off. Really, it's not a man's gift. We all have this gift. We all do it. Matter of fact, there's one voice that we unbelievably have the ability to shut off without realizing it, that we say is the most important voice in the world. We want to hear this voice, but it's incredibly rare how often we do actually hear that voice. And now you know I'm moving from humor to something really serious. We say we want to hear from God. We say we would love to hear God's voice. But you ever wondered or noticed how little time we give God to speak and listen to him. Do you ever notice that when you pray, 99% of the time that you spend praying, what are you doing? You're talking. All right? You're with the creator of the universe for, let's say, 15 minutes, and for 14 minutes, you are giving him counsel and advice and giving 1 minute for him to speak back. Helen Keller said, "Worse than being blind is having sight but not vision." And we can add to that, worse than being deaf is having the ability to listen or the ability to hear without listening. 14 times in the New Testament, you will read this verse or a rendition thereof. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let her that has ears to hear, let her hear. Do you know why someone says something 14 times? Now, guys, I raise my hand here, okay? The hamper is here. The dirty clothes are on the floor here. Okay? It's 6 inches difference. All right? Can you just drop them here? Is it so hard to... Why do I hear that so often? Why do we say something 14 times? There's only two reasons. Number one, it's very important to the person saying it. And number two, it's not all that important to the person hearing it. That's why you say things over and over again. Do you know why God would say 14 times, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear? Because we forget to listen. That's really the case. God speaks. He speaks to us today. And if he speaks for a purpose. If he speaks for a purpose, we ought to listen. We ought to pay attention to that. I believe God speaks to us in two ways. He speaks to us individually, and he speaks to us corporately. Individually, you need to spend time each day in God's word, reading, listening for God's word to you as a person, as an individual. That is incredibly important. But also, he speaks to us as a congregation, as corporately, as a body. And what I want to share with you this morning is one thing that I believe God is speaking to his church today. I don't think God is saying this because I am saying it. I think this is what God is speaking because I am hearing it all around. But I want to share this with you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to launch off from there. While you're turning, let me again thank Pastor Tony for the opportunity to be here. As he said, you know, my wife and I grew up here, graduated from William Floyd. This is not just like home to us, this is home to us. We have been in ministry for many years. We were in Mexico for 10 years in Mexico City. Great place to visit, interesting place to live. We've been there. We're back home now. We live in New Jersey. And for the last 2 years, we've had a transition. We still work with our missionary department. We're with the Assemblies of God, and we work with our national missions department among Hispanic churches here in the United States and Puerto Rico. And with the purpose of sending and supporting missionaries throughout the globe, all the world. So I do a lot of travel, but I'm almost always with Hispanic churches and congregations and district or regional leadership to try and help motivate and train them to send and support missionaries globally. Just this morning, got a text about one of our missionaries from one of our Hispanic regions who is a missionary in Nepal. And this morning, he was on his way to Kathmandu to minister in relief work for the tremendous earthquake that took place there just yesterday, the day before. 2,000 that they know of right now that have died. And it's just, this is the kind of thing that we work with to send missionaries globally out of the Hispanic community. It is a blast. We love what we do. If you see on the way out, there are these little prayer reminder cards somewhere around there. They had a picture of my wife and I on it. If you take one of those and remember to pray for us, we certainly would appreciate that. Little email address on the back as well. If there's anything we can do to help you to connect with missions globally, by all means, please give us a holler. We're on Facebook as well, all that kind of good stuff. So keep that in mind, and we'd be glad to help out. Genesis 11, you got it? Okay. If you have Genesis 11 open, there is a title at the beginning of the page. I'm going to start in Genesis, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go from Genesis through Revelation. We're going to make 4 pit stops along the way, and by the time I get done, it's going to be clear to me, and hopefully to you, what God is saying, I think, to his church today, and I hope it will affect you in a way that you can put into practice in your life today, okay? Genesis 11, what does it say at the title of your page? The Tower of Babel. Many people think that the central focus of Genesis 11 is the story of the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11 includes the story of the Tower of Babel, but that is not the central focus of it. Now, let me say 2 things as I get started. Number one, I am going to challenge you to think this morning. Forgive me. should have warned you. I'm well, bien caffeinado. I'm really well caffeinated. I hope you are too, but if not, that's okay. I'm going to challenge you to think. And also, for about the first half of where I'm going, you're going to think, what in the world is this guy talking about? It seems like I'm all over the place. There is a rhyme or reason to it. And like I say, it will make sense, at least to me, by the time we wrap up, and hopefully to you as well. Genesis 11, it starts out by saying everyone spoke the same language and the same, they lived in the same place, they spoke the same language, used the same words. It's great to speak the same language and use the same words as everybody else, all right? Isn't that nice to know that everybody's speaking the same language? Any of you remember when everybody in your home community spoke the same language and used the same words? Today, it's a little bit different. You have a little problem with the rental car. You got a phone call from a billing agency, and it's an accent you don't understand, and it's just kind of difficult. That's where they lived at that point in time. They were coming out of Eden. They built their community. They lived in this place called Babel. They used the same language, same words. Everything was the same. But little by little, people started to spread out. They started to branch out and move away. And the leaders of their community in Babel didn't like this. So they said, we've got to stop this. What we're going to do is we're going to build a tower. Here's our idea. We're going to build a tower with three points of reference here, three goals for this. Number one, it will be a tower that touches heaven. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to be huge. Number two, we're going to make a name for ourselves. That just, I think, is one of the funniest things in the Bible. They're going to make a name for themselves. They were the only ones that were in existence on the face of the earth, and they're going to make a name for themselves. You know, my wife and I live home alone. I am the strongest man in my home. I just want you to know that. I am the strongest guy in my household. I'm going to make a name for myself. The third thing, they'll build this tower to prevent themselves from being scattered all over the face of the earth. Why did they want to do that? Because scattering meant change, and they didn't want change. They wanted everybody nice, neat, home, in the nest, everything close, everything the same, forever and ever. Folks, hear me. God is a God of change. All right, He changes not, but our lives, He constantly brings change through. He said, when Jesus called His disciples, what did He say? Follow me. He is moving. God is always on the move. And if we don't move with Him, we will lose Him. We've got to move with Him. Our world is changing. We cannot afford to try and stay in the same spot. We need to change with Him. They didn't like that. They said, we're going to build this tower. We're going to prevent this change from taking place. And God steps in. Every time you try and keep it the same, God will step in somehow. He steps in. He confuses their language. And it's really neat. We don't know if it happened in a moment, in a week, in a month. What we do know is that at the end of the day, their language changed, their messages were confused because of the diversity of their language, and what they had hoped to avoid is what they brought on themselves. They were indeed scattered all over the face of the earth. Okay? Try and stop what God's doing. It ain't going to happen. They're scattered. What happens when they're scattered? Each group goes to a new place, a new geographical location. They bring their original language with them, or this new language with them, I should say. And they develop a little community, a little society. They build a city. One group here, one group there, one group over there. They have children. They grow. They build a community. Each community has its own individual language, its own unique culture, in its own geographical area. Genesis 11 is not the story, not about the story of the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11 is the story about the birth of nations. It is the first time in history we have different nationalities. The word nation comes from a Latin word which means to be born, to be birthed. They have their own unique language, their own unique culture, and their own geographical location, each one different. Genesis 11, story of the birth of nations. Very important because in Genesis chapter 12, we read of a man by the name of Abraham. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, I am really impressed with you. Why was God impressed with Abraham? Abraham was able to discern and identify the reality of God in his world without the help of any teachers, any pastors, any rabbis, or any Bible or any book. He recognized God's identity for what he saw and began to worship him. That's really important. We use a word, and peg this away in your mind. We use a word very often in church. The word is glory or glorify. We want to see Jesus glorified. We want to see God glorified. I don't know if we understand exactly what that word means, so let me help define it for you. Jesus said when he was going to the cross, now is the Son of Man glorified. Okay? How many of you would like to be glorified like Jesus was? Why in the world would being crucified mean you're glorified? Well, let's go back to the original meaning. It means to reveal his identity. When Jesus went to the cross, he fulfilled the messianic prophecy, thereby proving he was the Son of God sent for the salvation of mankind, revealing his identity, and he was glorified. That's what the word means. Abraham is able to glorify God, reveal his identity, and God says, I am so impressed with that, I'm going to make you a promise. Make you a couple of promises. Here are my three promises to you. Number one, I'm going to bless those who bless you. Everybody who's nice to you, I'm going to be nice to. Number two, I'm going to curse those who curse you. All right, you're driving around the expressway, you're coming around the bend, somebody cuts you off, just makes you're like, am I here? Am I invisible? They just cut you off, and boom, and you come around the curve, and there's a state trooper. Every time that sucker gets nailed, every time they cut you off, they get nailed. God says, I'm going to bless those that bless you, those who curse you, I'm on it. I'm going to get them. Justice is going to be served to them. Grace to you, justice to them. Okay, that's what we want. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, but even more importantly, in you, every family on the face of the earth, every nation will be blessed. Here's the principal point. Genesis 11 and 12, the nation's born, and God's promise, the first thing God does after the birth of nations is promise to bless those nations through the line of Abraham. That's what you need to remember. All right, that's Genesis 11 and 12. Shut the door, get on the plane, shut the door, move with me to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66. Okay? Isaiah 66, verses 18 and 19. I'm just going to paraphrase them. You can read them in full if you like. Isaiah 66, verses 18 and 19 say, a day is coming when God is going to do four very specific things. If you're taking notes, write these four things down. A day is coming. A time is coming. A specific moment in time is coming. This isn't a general prophecy for all time and eternity. This is a specific moment in time. All right, a day is coming or a time is coming, Isaiah says, depending on your translation, when God's going to do four things. Number one, he's going to gather all nations together. In Genesis 11, the nations were gathered. In Isaiah 66, he gathers the nations together. Okay? Second thing he's going to do is display his glory to those nations. They will come, they will see my glory. What does the word glory mean? They will identify him as this is God. The nations will be gathered. Secondly, he's going to display his glory to the nations. The third thing Isaiah says is those nations gathered will be sent out to all nations, the coastlands, the distant islands, they will be sent out to all nations. Why? Number four, to proclaim his glory among the nations. Very important. Write these four things down if you're taking notes. He will gather the nations, display his glory to the nations, send them back out to all nations. Why? To proclaim his glory among the nations. In Genesis 12, we have the promise of God on how he's going to bless the nations. In Isaiah 66, we have the plan of God on how this is going to happen. Okay? Get in the plane, shut the door, tighten your seatbelt. Let's jump over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. All right? Told you, I'm moving fast. We're flying through here. Acts 2, 1. When the what of Pentecost had come? When the day of Pentecost had come, when this moment in time, when a divine moment in time came, this specific day, this specific time came, it says, there were in Jerusalem, you read into Acts chapter 2, it will say this, there were in Jerusalem on that day men gathered from every nation under heaven. What was the first thing God said through Isaiah that he was going to do? Gather the nations. What's the second thing that Isaiah said was going to happen? God would display his glory, reveal his identity to those nations. What happens? The Holy Spirit is poured out. They all begin to speak in a language they didn't know. Okay? Just like in Genesis, there's this diversity of language. And everybody takes notice of this. Why? Well, you're walking in Walmart, you're in the food store, and you hear somebody speaking another language. Does that grab your attention? Sometimes it does. It doesn't, you know, I mean, we're used to that by now. But I tell you what, if you saw a fire shooting out of their ears and flames over their heads, that would do a little more to grab your attention than that. It's put the Twinkies on the counter, back away, so I'm out of here, I want to get safe. Get me out of here. This is weird. I don't know what's going on, but it's weird. It says fire shot out of their heads. They saw this going on, and they heard everybody speaking, and it says, how is this happening? We hear everyone speaking, each in our own language, telling of the glories of God. God's going to glorify, display his glory to the people. They recognize this was God. What's the third thing Isaiah said was going to happen? He would send them out to all nations. In Acts chapter 1, we read that the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit was that his people would be sent to all nations like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Why? To proclaim his glory, to be his witnesses among the nations. This is the plan of God. This is the purpose of God revealed. The Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, is not a random commission to missions teams and missionaries. The Great Commission was given to the church. Our purpose, our reason for existence, is to make disciples of people from every nation. And that's exactly what Isaiah prophesied. That's what started in Genesis, and that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were sent out as witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the world, to give testimony, to be witnesses of God's glory, proclaiming his glory among the nations. In Genesis, we have the promise given. In Isaiah, we have the plan given. In Acts, we see the plan is a pattern repeated. One more stop, our last one, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 7, 9 and 10. I'm losing all my notes here. Very good. After these things, John says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, no one could count them, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. John, writing Revelation, is on an island at this point in time, an island called Patmos. It's a prison island. He was in prison for his faith. He was on this captive island. But in spite of the hardships that he suffered, it was the Lord's day. He was in worship. Okay, that's powerful in itself. And in his time of worship, he has a vision, and he starts seeing things that God is going to bring in the future. And that's when this takes place. Now, I want you to help me out in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something. This is just a simple exercise. This is not spiritual. It could become spiritual later on, but it's not spiritual this moment. All right? I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, and there's risk involved in this. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes with the intention of opening them again. All right? So remember that when you close them, I do want you to open them again. If you don't and you just kind of snooze for a while, I understand. That's totally fine. No more peaceful sleep has ever been had than in churches in the presence of God. It's just tremendously refreshing. That's just, I understand. That's cool. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to describe this scene to you, and I want you to imagine it, but vividly imagine. I want you to hear it, sense it, see it, feel it, as if you were there. Okay? All right? Now, with the intention of opening them in about 30 to 45 seconds, close your eyes and imagine this scene. You're in a huge stadium, a huge arena, and all around you, you start looking, and there are thousands upon, there are so many people, you can't count them all. It's a multitude so great, you can't count them. You recognize that represented there is every nation on the face of the globe, every tribal group, every people group, and all tongues. They're standing, they're on their feet, and you look, and in the center of this arena is a throne, is a platform with a throne on it. And there is God himself seated on the throne. And to his side is his son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. All these people gather around them. They're in white robes, all right? They have palm branches in their hands. You're wondering what's going on. And then slowly, they begin to speak out, and you hear this, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They say it again, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then little by little, this begins to build until this entire multitude is chanting in unison, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, over and over again. Okay, open your eyes. You were in the middle of this. You feel the electricity. You've experienced this. I'm going to ask you a question. This is a real question, and I want a real answer. All right? When you imagined this in your mind, when you heard them say, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, What language did you hear? I don't want the right answer. I want the real answer. In your imagination, what language were they speaking? English. Anybody other than English? Everybody heard it? Okay. Now, we always go from our own context, our own perspective. Now, thinking about the right answer, most likely, what language will they be speaking when this takes place? Heavenly language? Every language? Every language. John says, every people, nation, tribe, and tongue. How would he know that? He heard that. Can you imagine what it would be like to be around the throne of God and to hear people from every nation, every people, every tribal group, everyone praising him, each in their own language? Rather than imagine what that might be like, let me show you what it could look like. In Genesis 11, the diversity of language confused the people's messages, and the nations were scattered. Around the throne of God, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ overcomes the diversity of language, and the nations are united. Folks, the only power strong enough to overcome the challenge of the obstacles of ethnic diversity, generational diversity, political conflict in this world, the only thing powerful enough to overcome that is the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is why it is this gospel that must be preached in every nation as a testimony to all people. This is why we exist. This is why the church is here. This is what the Great Commission is about. And we all have a part in that. There are approximately 7 billion people in the world today. 7 billion. An insane number. Almost half, 40%, about 3 billion people, if they died today, would die never having heard once, ni una vez, not one time, even the name of Jesus. They can't say no, much less yes, to the gospel. How are they going to hear? If we keep doing what we have been doing, we will get what we've always gotten. It's time we look to do something different. And God has placed upon the church the responsibility that every person hear the gospel. Around the throne, it doesn't say most. It says every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. But today, 40% have never heard. Obviously, between today and that point, they are going to hear. How is that going to happen? We have got to stop seeing ourselves as the recipients of God's blessing only, but also as the agent of God's blessing to the nations. He has gathered the nations to identify himself, reveal his glory to those nations, to send the nations gathered back out to proclaim his glory among the nations. God, have you noticed that God has gathered? I'm looking, I see it here where I live in New Jersey. In front of me is a great family from Puerto Rico. To their right is a family from Poland. To my right is a family from Bulgaria. Zdravé. Zdravé is Bulgarian. Anybody speak Bulgarian? I've had people that do. They answer me. Zdravé is Bulgarian for, hey, how you doing? My neighbors, their grandmother comes every so often. She's here now. And she comes out, Zdravé, David, Zdravé. And I'm always, Zdravé, comrade. I feel like I'm on, you know, some old Russian movie. Behind me is Tony and Pepe, his wife from China. And on my left is a family from Nigeria. We are surrounded by the nations. My standard joke is we moved in and they said, there goes the neighborhood. We threw that off. Property values went down. Taxes went up. Here we come. God has brought the nation. Why? We have countries in this world where no matter what Christian church you're talking about, we cannot send missionaries there for political reasons, for visa issues. We cannot send missionaries to those countries. Yet we have neighbors who have family there. Why has God done this? Sometimes you might think, Lord, you know, I just wanted a peaceful life. I wanted the same language, the same words. I wanted everything to be the same. And you put these foreigners next to me. Why did you put them next to me? He didn't put them next to you. He put you next to them for a reason. I will bless the nations. He promised through the line of Abraham. Who is the spiritual line of Abraham? Look left, look right, look in front, look behind. We are the spiritual line of Abraham. Our purpose is to be a blessing to all nations. How do we apply that? Let me give you 3 ways to apply this in your life today. Number one, next time you're in 7-Eleven, next time you're getting gas, next time you're in Walmart, and you hear somebody speaking another language, don't just shrug it off. And don't just think, maybe I'm the only one. Why don't they speak English? They come to this country, they should learn our language. Why don't they learn to speak English here? Don't think those thoughts. Push them out of your mind. Use that experience as a divine button to pray this prayer, to remind you, push the button, pray this prayer. Lord, bless the nations. You've gathered these nations for a reason. Bless the nations. And in the same breath, let me say, be careful about praying a prayer without recognizing that you might be the answer to that prayer. Bless the nations and use me. Do you have neighbors who are a little bit different than you? Invite them over. Have them in your house. Learn about them. Let them learn about you. Get to know their language. Get to know their culture. Be salt in the earth. First thing, use that as a prayer, those experiences as a prayer reminder that God would bless the nations. Secondly, don't be an exclusive church, okay? I'm stepping over a little bit of a line to say this. I understand that, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't be an exclusive church. We typically invite people to sit next to us at church who speak like us, who live like us, who think like us, who smell like us, who eat like us. That's the whole deal. You know, I'll be really bluntly honest with you. We have problems sometimes sitting next to somebody if we don't like the baseball team they like. I mean, really, if you're a Yankees fan or a Mets fan and you're sitting next to each other, that's an act of God. It's even harder for a Red Sox fan and a Yankees fan. You know, we're on thin ice here, buddy, you know. You need to get saved. You need Jesus Christ. One of them's going that way. What about somebody who thinks totally different? Their culture is where don't just invite the people who are just like you. God is moving. We need to move with him. Fill this house with the nations. Jesus said his indictment against the Pharisees was, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. He wasn't just saying, we will pray for them here. He was saying, they will be here so they can pray in his house. Let's make your house, this spiritual house, a place for all nations. Don't be exclusive. Blow the doors off of that. First, pray for the nations for God's blessing. Second, don't be exclusive. Third, recognize the fact that God might want you to be one of those who he sends to the nations. It's important to recognize the nations here, but it's equally important to send to the nations. I was talking with Pastor Tony before the service. He was telling me about his burden. He says, until this point in time, I've always had a burden to go, and it hasn't been the time yet. And that's true. With a new church, establishing is very important. You got to build down before you build out. But when it's time to go out, it's time to go out. And now that time has come. Jajego, it's the day. It's the time. Teenagers, we used to have a rule in our home when our kids were young. Here was our rule. Before you graduate high school, you need to go at least once on a foreign missions trip. By foreign, I mean another country, another language, another culture. It's good to go local, go to South Carolina. If there's a hurricane there and help, that's great. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying get out of your comfort zone. Go out of your foreign language. You have to go at least once. That was our rule. They could choose when, but they had to do it. All three of our kids went more than once because the second time, after they went the first time, something happened. It's really, your team, when they come back, I am warning you. Watch out, okay? They're going to be infectious, you know? It's good infection. It's a virus you want here. Their vision will be open. They will see. Worse than being blind is having sight but not vision. We look around. We see all the differences. We see all the diversity. But we don't really see. We have no vision for why God wants us here. We hear different languages, but we don't really hear. We don't listen. We don't pay attention. Let God use you. God may be putting his hand on you. I'm not saying God is calling every one of you. I'm not saying God is calling any one of you. What I'm saying is each one of us has a responsibility to ask God, is this what you want me to do? And we're afraid of asking that. It's time we ask it. If God were to call you, what would you say? If God were to say, leave your home, leave your country, leave your familiarity, and go to a place that is different, different language, different people, if he were to say to that, and you knew that was God, what would you say? I believe God is looking for people who will say to him, Lord, before you ask me anything, I just want you to know, before you ask, my answer is yes. I'm signing the blank contract on the bottom. You fill it in when you feel it's time. But you have got my yes. Folks, We are the church. We are the spiritual line of Abraham. He promised to bless the nations through us. He revealed his plan. He showed that plan is a pattern. And he reveals to us the end result around the throne of God. I don't want that to be the first time. Dear God, don't let that be the first time that I hear the gathered nations worshiping you together. Let's experience that now. Please stand to your feet. Close your eyes. Father, thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you, Lord, for their commitment to the Great Commission. I thank you for their willingness to go and send a team out and support that team. I pray, dear Lord, that you would open our eyes. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear. Let us see this world as you see it. Give us vision. Give us understanding. Let us be your hand extended. Outstretched with the purpose of blessing all nations. And thank you, Father, for the privilege of representing Jesus Christ, glorifying him, revealing his identity in this world. Use us as you will in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. What an awesome, challenging biblical word that is for right now. For Integrity Christian Fellowship. What a joy it is to be a part of what God is doing all across the nations. At this time, I'm going to ask if our team that's going to be heading out to Mexico will come forward at this time. Dave, what was that word you used that you made it very quick?
I don't know which word.
No, yeah, it was go.
Zhajego.
Zhajego. I love that. I have no idea what it means, but it was just awesome. The time has come. Zhajego. Good, good. What an awesome opportunity we have. And I'm just real excited that God has handpicked a group to go and handpicked a group to send. Isn't that awesome? I mean, this has been an us thing all along, and your faithfulness, your prayers, your generosity, your support, your encouragement all along the way has been so dearly appreciated and certainly received by God as an act of worship. Continue to keep us in prayer these next 9-10 days as we go, as well as our families. I know Scott was going to share just a real neat beautiful.
What the team is holding are pillowcases that are made by our Knit Together ministry at the church here, which oftentimes invests in other types of service, putting knittings and sewings. And what the team had in their heart and was birthed through your little sister, Barbara Drenzik, was to have the name of every single child that is in the ranch embroidered on this pillowcase. And this pillowcase didn't exist. This was just fabric that they created pillowcases with every child's name on it that is on the ranch, along with the scripture verse of Jeremiah 29:11. So when they put their head down, that they will remember that God indeed has a plan, a future, and a hope for them. And God knows them by name. And we as a fellowship will bring their names back here and keep them up in prayer as well. Awesome. Pastor Dave, do you mind praying for our team?
This is fantastic. This is incredible. He knows your name. He knows their... You talk about imagination. I would love, and you got to send me, I would love to hear the stories of what happened when you meet the person whose name you're holding over there that you've been praying for. Things will take place in your heart. It's bring tissues. It's incredible. And God bless you folks for doing what you're doing. These guys are not going because it's their project. Okay? It's your project. There are those that send and those that go. On the last day, God's not going to ask missionaries and missions teams, did you go? He's going to ask the church, did you send? Missionaries don't go on their own. Missionaries are sent by the church. They are representing you. They are your hand extended. Please don't just remember to pray for them. Pray for them. It's your responsibility. You are the airline, the pipeline. They are your hand extended. That God's presence, his protection, his provision will be on them. And may God be glorified through it. I can't wait to hear the stories. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this group, those that send, those that go. Moses, when you challenged him to lead his people up into the promised land, said, do not ask us to go if your presence does not go with us. Because if your presence doesn't go, we have nothing. Lord, when they leave this country, when they enter Mexico, when they interact with these whose names are on these pillowcases and the people they'll meet, they're going to have challenges in the middle of different cultures. They're going to have linguistic challenges. There'll be frustration that they can't communicate. May your presence surround them, because with your presence comes transformation and change. Bless them. Let them reveal you through their spirit, Lord, to these folks that they're working with. And in that, let them be blessed to be a blessing. They could say every word right, have every resource. Without your presence, it's empty. But with it, it means everything. Touch them, surround them, bless the congregation here for their investment, Lord, into Mexico and throughout the world. I pray that you will use them to continue to build a fire that grows and burns in each heart, that we help to recognize we are the ones who can fulfill the Great Commission in our day if we will take this seriously. Use us, Lord, to fulfill your purpose that you created us for, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. As we go to our final song, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time as we take our monthly missions offering. If you're prepared for that, I would just ask you to ready yourselves as they come. Amen. Thank you.
Like you. Could we live like yours?
Amen. Looking to change the world one life at a time. Amen. Through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here this morning. What an opportunity it is just to worship God and love on Him. There are cards in the back Dave and Cheryl Greco's name and information on it. I'd encourage you to check it out and see what they're doing and stand alongside them in prayer. There's going to be a team meeting for the team that's launching out in my office in about 8 minutes. We're going to give you time to get a cup of coffee and a bagel because we don't want to deprive you of that. And then we'll go. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Keep the team in prayer and be praying about when your time is to go next. God bless you.